Welcome to the Become Nomad podcast, whether you're already a nomad or aspiring to become one. We're here to supply you with relevant information to help keep you on the road until your bus gets assaulted by a guy with a gun. So, as you can see, I'm still in Colombia. If you want the full story, you can go to the Facebook page of Become Nomad and it's there. Yeah, let's do a few updates about where I am since it's been a while since we've done an episode. So currently I'm in Riohacha on the beach. You're going to hear a lot of sounds that have to do with parties and wind and maybe even waves from far away and music. So hopefully it will be audible anyway. So Riohacha is actually the capital of La Guajira, which is in the north of Colombia. It's a desert region connected to the Caribbean Sea. So pretty cool place that I really enjoy, the region itself. And Riohacha was actually mentioned by Gabriel Garcia Marquez in his very famous book, Cien Años de Soledad, or 100 Years of Solitude. So a pretty cool place. And I'm just in the end of my quarterly week of disconnection, or what normal people are calling a vacation. So basically, it's been already 6 months in Colombia, time to go soon. But I'm enjoying it for one more week of disconnecting from work. Basically, I spent a lot of time recently in a cool city called Bucaramanga in the north of Colombia. Over there, I found a really cool farm that I enjoy a lot. It's 5 meters from a huge river where I can go to swim. Really fun. Lots of nature in the middle of nowhere. This farm is kind of connecting with my strategy of going on the edges. When talking about accommodation, I'm totally avoiding the city centers and so on and so on. And I'm trying to find always the place in the edge of the city, because that's where I know that the city is connecting with nature. It's usually a lot less expensive as well and really fun. So maybe something that you should check out as well. And that's basically it. We can jump into today's episode. Today's episode is going to be a rundown of a checklist that I have each time I'm changing a location. Basically, I hope if we're going to find a few things that are useful for you as well over there. So enjoy. The topic for today is a checklist for each nomadic base. The idea is as following. I open a checklist for each new place I get to, and while I stay there, I basically try to complete the list just before I move on to the next place where I'm going to start a new list. In this episode, basically, I'm going to go over my list, share it, and hopefully some of the things are going to be useful for you. You can get a few ideas from them. But I have to say in advance that it's basically a lot better if you're gonna build your own list, because the list is, of course, customized on what you're interested in and what you like. So the rationale behind this list is pretty simple. Don't be a leaf in the wind. I already know what are the things that I like doing. I know what makes me happy, more or less, and stable. Now I just have to get to it in each base. I have to say that maybe it's not entirely true. About 5% of the list keeps on changing from each base to another, and I'm happy it does, because my preferences keep on changing. Technologies that I'm counting on are also changing. Some of them are added, some of them are disappearing. I also understand myself better, so the list keep on reflecting my own understanding of what I do and what I like. Again, the idea is that this nomadic lifestyle is very uncertain. You are constantly going to new places. You don't really know what you're going to find and so on. And the idea of the list is that I don't want to add to the basic uncertainty of moving between new locations, also not knowing what to do. I think that's too much of an uncertainty. So I'm actually very aggressively, let's say, figuring out what is it that me, myself as a person, want to do. It doesn't matter where I am. Kind of this one anchors me a little bit and gives me a little bit of stability, which is needed in a constant situation of changing locations. So I have to say again that this routine and the need for certainty is important. In my case, it's extra important, and the checklist is there to stabilize my life as I'm moving between locations, since I'm working a lot. I'm working about 9 hours a day, so I have to, let's say, find the environments that support these massive work resources that I have to put. I guess that in the future, if I'm going to have a little bit less work, the list can be a little bit more flexible. But as long as I need to be a little bit grounded and need my routines in order to have efficiency, then it's really important to know what is it that exactly I need to reach my goals. And before we jump onto the list, a little bit of a philosophical question. So the idea is as following. If my goal is to kill the list wherever I am and get to the end of it, just so I can have it reborn when I move to a new location, then what is this all about exactly? So now we're going to go over the list. And a little bit before we start with the list, I'm just going to say about the chronology of the list. I never know if I'm going to click with a place. So the idea or the basic strategy is that the first week of me staying in the location is to discover if it's a place where I want to stay in or not. So the idea of this week is to basically, I dedicate it to the items that will allow me to take a decision of whether or not I want to stay. And also to get to know the place, just in case I don't want to stay, so I can kind of see the most interesting things before I leave. The important thing for this week is not to make any attachments. For example, an attachment can be paying a month of rent or paying a month of co-working. So the idea is that I have this week, I don't really know if I'm staying or not, and I'm taking a decision in the weekend and then basically at least stay 1 month or more. Now, as for the items of the list, I had a few more that I basically don't think that they're going to be relevant for people, so I left them out. My actual list is a little bit bigger. And again, you have to customize your own list. And maybe 20% of the things that I have are relevant for you. The important thing is to get to know yourself, get to know what is it that you need, so you can find it. So the idea, again, build your own list. I'm just giving an example of how a list can look like. And the one thing before I'm going to go over the list is to say that I'm also, while being in a new place, I'm exploring options for the next one. So I have a location table where I'm putting about 2 or 3 locations that are the options for the next spaces. And I keep on searching for new potential candidates of really, really fun places that I'm probably going to enjoy if I'm going to stay long term. The idea is, again, find those long term locations where I can stay 1 month or 2 months, get some work done and really get to know the place. And sometimes, as I mentioned, there are some duds, places that you go to and you're like, no, I don't really feel like staying, or it's not really what I'm looking for. In this table of potential locations, I'm exploring a few elements. For example, does the place has a co-working place or even more than one co-working space, because co-working is crucial for me if I stay long term? Does the place have less than 1 million people? Talked about it before. The smaller the place is, the more I enjoy it. But then sometimes it becomes too small and boring. So less than 1 million is my basic rule. I'm also checking the air pollution index to see how much pollution is there in the place, especially relevant in South America, where you're going to get strangled by car fumes and so on and so on if you're not aware of the pollution levels. Also checking how far the place is from an international airport. I noticed that those that are close to an international airport are kind of maybe too touristic for my taste. So needless to say, those are my resolution levels after 6 years. They're a little bit crazy on the road. Probably when you start, you're going to have only 1 or 2 elements that are important for you, and then you become obsessive like me. So let's start with the list. First section of the list is actually the things I do before I arrive that are critical. So before I arrive to a place, the first thing that I do is checking if they have any co-working spaces. And I'm trying to set up 2 meetings with 2 co-working spaces in the same day where I arrive. The idea is, again, if there is no co-working space, I'm not going to the place, because I know 100% I'm not going to stay long term there. So for me, a critical thing. The second thing I do is trying to figure out where are the places that have nature in this city or town that I'm going to. I'm using Google Satellite for that, and the Google Satellite basically shows you all the green stuff around the city. This helps me to figure out what is the right place for accommodation or which zone do I want to stay in. Then I'm going to close accommodation for the first week. And while doing that, I'm going to try to find this special accommodation that I really will enjoy and probably stay for the rest of the month. The best profile that I enjoy the most is what I have now in Bucaramanga, something on the edge of the city that also allows some kind of a community, either run by a family or maybe a guest house and so on, so I can meet other travelers and so on, but in nature. So that's basically for the accommodation. Then one more thing that I'm doing before I arrive to my potential base is, especially if I'm crossing the border, I'm taking a screenshot of the flight ticket, of the hostel reservation, and so on and so on. And all of this is to allow a safe and easy border crossing. Border crossing sometimes can get a little bit messy, so you want to make sure that you have everything in place. I am also going over my own article in the blog of avoid problems while crossing borders. Basically, I have a list there of things that I want to check before I'm moving to a new country. So pretty recommended article. One more thing that I'm doing is I'm canceling my meetings on Skype until I get a SIM card. So the idea is that I'm running projects and I have meetings almost every day. And until I'm getting a SIM card, I'm just making sure that all those meetings are canceled to make sure that I can actually arrive to those meetings, because I'm never going to know what's the situation with the Wi-Fi in a new place and what's going to be the situation with myself. I'm also changing the time zone for my meetings. So let's say if I know that I'm going to Colombia, then I'm going to basically ask my team to change the time of the meeting so it wouldn't be at 2 a.m. at night, because the time zones usually change a lot. And that's basically it for the time zone and for the meetings. One more thing that I do before I arrive to a place is I download the Google Maps of the place. This is totally important because sometimes you have no Wi-Fi, especially in a new place. You have no Wi-Fi, you still don't have a SIM card. So having the map of the place on Google Maps is very, very helpful. So definitely something to do. Now, a few things that I do before I arrive that are less critical but still nice is that I'm going over my LinkedIn. And basically, I'm checking if I know someone there. I'm doing the same, by the way, for Facebook. And the idea is that sometimes you're super surprised to see people that you've met, let's say, in London that are now living in Colombia. And it happened to me here, for example. So the idea is go over your social network and try to figure out if you already know someone that is on LinkedIn or Facebook, and of course, send them a message and set up a meeting. It's always good to reconnect. One more thing that I do on LinkedIn is that even those that are not connected to me, I'm trying to find people that are super interesting where I go. In my case, it usually has to do with startup people, because I'm building a global startup ecosystem app at Startup Link. So the idea is try to locate the people that do what I do and that are of very high quality and set up meetings with them as well. For you, whatever you're working on, try to figure out what is this topic and what are those for. So definitely something to do. Now, a few things that I do before I arrive that are less critical but still nice is that I'm going over my LinkedIn, and basically I'm checking if I know someone there. I'm doing the same, by the way, for Facebook. And the idea is that sometimes you're super surprised to see people that you've met, let's say, in London that are now living in Colombia. And it happened to me here, for example. So the idea is go over your social network and try to figure out if you already know someone that is on LinkedIn or Facebook, and of course, send them a message and set up a meeting. It's always good to reconnect. One more thing that I do on LinkedIn is that even those that are not connected to me, I'm trying to find people that are super interesting where I go. In my case, it usually has to do with startup people, because I'm building a global startup ecosystem app at Startup Link. So the idea is try to locate the people that do what I do and that are of very high quality and set up meetings with them as well. For you, whatever you're working on, try to figure out what is this topic and what are those people that make sense to meet with. And imagine the power of meeting with the top people in each city you go to that have to do with the topic of your interest. It's pretty cool. Now, two more things that I do is that on the social element, I'm sending a few messages on Couchsurfing to interesting people that I think would be great to meet them and go over coffee and get a little bit of information about the city, maybe a little bit of a city tour and so on and so on. And I'm also sending a few messages on Dynamite Circle. Dynamite Circle is kind of a digital nomad community that I'm part of. And the idea is that they have over 1,000 people. So it's pretty cool wherever I go to try to figure out from the map who is where and send messages to the people who are currently in the place. Really fun for social life. One more thing that I do before I arrive is I put messages on Facebook groups in the city. More than anything on startup Facebook groups, because we talked about what my main interest is. But again, your message is probably going to be on another topic, and that's super cool. One more thing that I do before arriving to a place is checking options to learn a little bit the language in advance. So, for example, before I arrived to Germany, I downloaded a few kits of learning German. That way, when you arrive to the city itself, it's pretty cool because you already know a little bit of the language, which is pretty helpful. In Germany, in Berlin, it wasn't actually because everyone spoke English, so I kind of gave up on the idea. But in places like Russia or Belarus or whatever, learning the language in advance, a little bit of it is going to make a huge difference. One more thing that I do before I arrive to a place is that I download the public transportation map of the place. Usually, if they have a metro and so on, download the map. And a few applications of transport. Because, for example, in Bogota, you have the application of all the bus lines that go through the city. So that's pretty cool and good to have. One more thing that I'm doing is I'm checking conferences, big conferences in the city. Yeah, basically, that's, again, something that is very specific to me. But I really enjoy going to conferences, meeting people that are relevant to what I do. So one more thing that I'm doing. And the last thing that I'm doing before I arrive, and this is theoretical because I'm not actually doing it, but I do want to do it, is to send a newsletter to all the people registered for the newsletter on Become Nomad, which is over almost, I think, 1,000 people, and let them know that I'm arriving. In a few locations that I did it, I actually got responses from people inviting me for coffee and so on. So it's pretty cool. And I really hope to go back to doing that when I have a little bit more time. Now I'm going over the list of the things that I do that are critical just after I arrive to a place. So everything we talked about before were the things that I'm doing before arriving to a place. And now, after arriving to the place, the first most important thing is to find a co-working space for a week and see how it goes. Again, in this week, in the initial week, I don't want to do any commitments for 1 month because I'm not sure I'm going to stay, but at least start with a co-working space for a week. The second thing that I do urgently upon arrival is getting a SIM card with 2 gigabytes of information, or even more. If I know that I'm staying in the country, even if I'm leaving the base, I'm staying in the country for more time, trying to get about 6 or 4 gigabytes, super important to have internet. One more thing that I'm trying to do is to find this accommodation place we talked about in a village or in the edge of the city. And that's basically the most critical stuff that I'm doing in each base. And as you can see, there are only 2 critical things in the end of the day, which is, well, maybe 3 with the internet. But the 2 main heavy stuff is the office and where I live. And the idea is that I am spending most of my time in the office plus in my home, maybe even 90% of the time or more, 90%. So the idea is that I want both of them really, really cool. I noticed that a lot of my happiness in a specific location has to do a lot with where do I live and where do I work. So co-working and accommodation, I want them really fun. Okay, a few things that I'm doing after I arrive that are nice. One thing that I do is I download some kind of a Lonely Planet chapter of the country, the city, and I'm reading the chapter of the country, the history, and so on and so on, and reading another chapter about where I stay in the particular city where I stay. And the idea over here is that the Lonely Planet, although, for example, not that cheap, allows you to get a lot of background information, especially about history and the mindset of the people that I really enjoy reading. So that's one of the things that I'm doing in countries where I'm spending a long time. Now, one more thing that I'm doing is going over TripAdvisor. And over there on TripAdvisor, you have all the attractions. And I'm finding all the attractions in a distance from where I am. And the idea is that basically I know what are all the things that are worthwhile doing. And I'm trying to figure out basically in the time where I'm staying, what are the things that I don't want to miss. So the attraction list is pretty cool. I'm trying to, you know, if I'm going to a place, I want to make sure that the top three or four things that are worthwhile doing, that I'm experimenting them. One more thing that I'm trying to do is to find an online magazine or an offline magazine about the city in English. And those magazines are pretty cool because in cities where you have them, they update about every 1 month or 2 months, and then they give you a list of the current situation, what are the top events that you can look for in the city, and so on and so on. So those are happening especially in the top cities like Prague or places or Medellin, for example, in Colombia. So over there, it's worthwhile to get connected to a magazine, a local magazine about the place, and get a little bit of more updated information from local. One more thing that I'm trying to do is to close a tour in the city. Usually you have those free weekend tours that through the city center and so on, get hear the story of the city, meet some really cool people that are doing the tours as well. So doing a city tour in the city where I'm staying is definitely recommended, and I'm trying to do that. One more thing that I'm doing is that I'm joining Facebook groups in the city. For example, digital nomads in Medellin, expats in Medellin, foreigners in Medellin, and so on and so on. And the idea over here is to connect already to the people who are staying in the city. Facebook groups are really good communities, and I definitely recommend them, not only to connect to people, but also to ask questions. For example, where can I find a money exchange place in a city with good rates, and so on and so on. I asked a lot of questions there and get really good answers. Now, when I'm trying to figure out, let's say that the week has ended since I came to the city, and now I have to figure out if I'm staying or not. Basically, the idea is that I'm staying if I feel good. And this is very, very objective. In some places that I thought I'm going to fall in love with, for example, London in England, I didn't like so much. In other places where I thought I'm only staying for 2 days, like Zagreb, I stayed for 3 months. So this is very, very personal, and there is no code here. But there are a few things that I noticed that are helping me to decide if a city is worthwhile or a town. One of the things is I'm checking is how many people are there couch surfing. And for some reason, I noticed that the more active community there is on couchsurfing, the city is cooler and you can find cool people. One of the more things that I'm checking is, are there a lot of weekend trips that I'm going to do? So we did a chapter about my weekend trips, and basically I'm taking off each week far away from the city as possible. And the idea is to travel 3 or 4 hours and get a lot of places where you can travel. For example, Malaga was a great example in Spain. I did about 8 weekend trips and had so many more options. So the idea is to try to find a place that is surrounded by really good attractions a little bit far away, so you can actually do a lot of cool weekend trips. One more thing that I'm checking to give me an indication of is the city worthwhile or not to stay is checking are there any meetups there. Meetup.com is a site where you can have physical meetups with a group of about 10 or 20 people, usually speaking about startup, language exchanges, and so on, tracking together. So seeing if there are any meetups is a really good indication to the social quality of the place and how boring it's going to be. And yeah, that's basically it. But more important than anything is, do I enjoy the place? Do I like the place? Do I feel like I connect to a place? And after I kind of decide on that, then I know that I'm staying or not. So if I'm not staying, then I'm just taking off on the weekend to another place to go through the same process of a week of trial and error. And if I am staying, here's another list that I'm doing. So just to recap, before we talked about the list of what are the things that I'm doing before I arrive to a place. After that, we went over the list of the things that I'm doing in the first week in order to get the decision of staying or not staying. And now we're moving on to the list of actually, okay, we decided to stay. We're going to stay at least a month, if not two. What are the things that are important? So the first one is to get a SIM card with 6 gigabytes. So usually I had one with 2 gigabytes, but now that I know that I'm staying, I'm trying to top it into 6 because I know that I'm probably going to use the data. One more thing that I'm doing is I'm reconnecting my number in Israel, actually, to my phone number outside of, let's say, in Colombia. So I have this kind of service in Israel that kind of have the ability for people to call me locally and for it to connect to whatever number I have in the world, which is pretty cool because your friends and family, they're not going to keep on track on your numbers every time you change them. You change them every 2 months when you change countries. So the idea is to have one local number and then connect whatever number you have with the local number. One more thing that I'm doing, of course, is the co-working. I closed one for a week, and of course, I'm extending it for a month. And one more thing on my list of things to do when I understand that I want to stay is to go for my swim. Swimming is super important for me. I love swimming. If I decide that I stay in a place, I'm trying to find as fast as possible a swimming pool where I can go. Usually I'm trying to locate a swimming pool that is open until late so I can go at night. An additional thing that I do after I understand that I stay for a month is to find an apartment, which is usually either an apartment or a hostel where I'm going to stay in a month. I'm trying to find at least two places. Again, city edges, nature, and super cool people to share the place with. Home is very, very important. One more thing that I'm doing is I'm trying to find coffee places that will allow me to work. Co-working is super great, but I like to have about 2 or 1.5 hours a day working in a coffee shop, seeing people, feeling a little bit that I'm outside and alive. So trying to find those Starbucks, Costa places and so on, locate them, put them on the map, and then kind of go for it when I feel like I need a break for the co-working. That was the list of the critical stuff that I'm doing when I'm in a new place. And now let's go over the last list of cool things to do when I'm in a new place and I know that I'm going to stay at least for a month. So the first thing is what I'm doing is basically to find the hospital, the best hospital in town. And mind you, I'm not even sick yet, but I'm just preparing for it. So a little bit paranoid of me, but I noticed that when you have an emergency situation, it's better not to try looking for the hospital as the situation happens, because you might be dying, you know? So it's good to have an address and the details of a hospital that you trust in advance. So that's one of the things that I'm doing. Other than that, I'm registering to meetup groups in the cities and participating in meetups. One of the nice things that I do in each place where I go to is to look for private lessons. So I'm just going on Google. Let's say I'm in Bucaramanga and then I do private lessons Bucaramanga. And a lot of interesting things pop up. For example, now in Bucaramanga in Colombia, I'm actually learning Russian, which is pretty cool. So the idea is basically to find each place has some unique characteristics and so on. For example, Medellin, I learned salsa. In Peru, I learned mechanical engineering of cars or whatever, fixing cars. So the idea is to do lessons and to educate yourself while you're in the base. One more unique thing that I do and has to do with what I do basically with the startups is I'm trying to recruit people wherever I stay, basically try to figure out really where are the talented people of this place, usually finding them on freelancing site in the city, going for coffee with them, and then working with them long term. For example, Yolanda, a very good friend and still a person that works with me over 2 or 3 years already. I found her when I was in Saloniki, and I noticed that although working remote is absolutely great, it's actually making a lot of sense to have the initial contact over coffee or face-to-face meeting. So I'm trying to recruit really cool people as I move between location. One more thing that I do is sign up for newsletters that are relevant in the place. In my case, it's usually Startup Digest, a newsletter that talks about startup events in the city. Another thing is that I'm changing my location on Facebook from Haifa in Israel. I'm changing it to Bogota in Colombia. I get a lot of replies from all my friends. Hey, what, you're living the life? What's going on? Why aren't you settling down? But the idea over here is that when you change your location, sometimes you have some friends that you don't know where they are, but they're very, very close to you. So as they see that you are in a new location, you might even be in a situation that they hit you up on Facebook and tell you, hey, I'm gonna take a weekend and see you there and so on. So the idea of declaring your location is pretty cool to reconnect with all friends. One more thing that I do is I buy in a big city where the transportation costs are pretty high. For example, Berlin, since I already know that I'm going to stay for a month, I'm buying a ticket for a month, which is usually a lot cheaper than buying tickets each day. And I'm also searching for outdoor sport in the parks, where I can find a place where I can do a little bit of exercise in parks with all those fresh air equipment that there is. So that's something that I started recently. I'm doing 30 minutes of exercise each day, usually in those parks where there is open air gym that you can use for free, and it's super fun and healthy. Now, another thing that I do is I register for Groupon in the city. So as funny as it seems, and as much as Groupon is for consumption and exactly against the nomadic idea, Groupon is pretty cool. It gives you the things that are best to do in the city in really reduced prices. And I care less about the prices and more about the suggestions of what to do. So I did a lot of courses of Groupon. I did massages when I had problems with my back and so on. I did mountain climbing. A lot of good, nice opportunities on Groupon. Totally recommend it. One more thing that I do is I'm trying to find in Workaway and Alpex. Those are two sites that offer voluntary work, trying to find some interesting options. And while speaking about it, I'm also doing a quick search in Google about options of where can I volunteer. And there are lots of really nice places to volunteer usually, and it's an experience to actually get your mind off a little bit of work and also connect with the local population and helping out. So volunteering is pretty cool. Another thing that I'm doing is I'm trying to figure out when are the national holidays. I do that because co-working spaces close down on the national holidays, and also places are becoming super touristic on national holidays. So I want to know more or less when, of course, the office is going to close and when there is going to be a flood of local tourists, so I know to buy my bus tickets in advance and so on and so on. Another thing that I do uniquely for myself is that I do lectures in the city where I stay, usually about startups and so on. So that's one more topic on my list. One more thing that I keep on doing as I'm in the place is improving the level of the language where I am. In each country, I'm kind of deciding in advance what is the level of the language that I want to get to. It can be the absolute basic and nothing more in places, for example, like Bulgaria, where I know that I'm not really interested in learning a lot more than the basics of thank you, hello, and how are you, which is important in any language. Or it can be a lot more, for example, in Russia, where I put myself the goal of learning Russian. So this is something that is totally ongoing. One more thing on my list is to get to know all the main neighborhoods in the city, mostly by walking. So I want to be in a situation that when I leave a location, I can just say that I know it. And that means that I want to kind of walk all over the city and kind of figure out what's going on. And the last thing that I do is a list of places that I want to see over the weekend. So usually I have about 5 or 6 high candidates of places for the weekends. And then when the weekends arrive, I just pick one of them and take off from Friday to Sunday. And that's basically it. That's a long list. Actually, as I mentioned before, it's a little bit longer. The idea is just to get a few ideas for you and build your own list. Again, you kind of want to know what you're doing and what is it that you need in each location. And that's something that's going to really help sustain your travel, your emotional health, and your stability. So hopefully you're going to figure out your own list as well. If you do, feel free to share it. I would love to get a few more ideas from my list. And that's basically it. I hope it was a useful episode, and see you probably next month. Have a good one. Bye-bye.